بارك الله فيك. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the Day of Judgment. The Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, was discussing the signs of the Day of Judgment and what we need to do as preparation for that particular day, which is just around the corner. This is the summary for those who wish to leave quickly, in case you change your mind. The Shaykh began by saying that the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the best way of life and guidance is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the worst of affairs are the ones that we introduce into this deen of ours, because every newly introduced matter is an innovation. Every innovation will lead astray, and whenever we are astray, we'll be going to the fire. Brothers in Islam, upon you is the jama'ah of the Muslimin, the main body of Muslims. Without being affiliated to a particular group or sect, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ever support the jama'ah and not those who deviate from the jama'ah. O Muslims, have taqwa of Allah and know that to Him you shall return, and concerning your deeds you will be brought to account. So do not be fooled by the life of this world. As Allah said about the believer of Fir'aun, of the people of Fir'aun, He told them, O people, verily this life of this world is mata', entertainment. And the life to come is the real permanent abode. So whoever does an evil deed, he will be given reward equal to that. An evil deed, that is. And whoever does righteousness, whether it is a male or female, whilst being a believer, then those shall enter Jannah, and they will be provided therein with sustenance without any accountability. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this dunya mata', and mata', or entertainment, is that which the individual uses at some point in time, and then eventually he loses it. Something that is temporary, you have it for some time, you are entertained by it, and then it is no longer with you. Yani it's not permanent, it is temporary, and it's minor pleasure. Just like the person traveling will have some things with him, and then once he reaches his destination, he no longer uses these things. And verily the entertainment of this life, of this dunya, in comparison to the hereafter, is only a small amount. And the dunya is known for the continuous changing. You know, among the things that are not consistent are the dunya that we live. And the Shaykh gave some examples. For example, you go from having good health to becoming sick, and from living bountifully to living miserably, and you go from life to death, and basically it's always on the verge of destruction. And the people gathered in this dunya soon to depart, and whatever is above the dirt is dirt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory for each one of us to depart from this particular life. Allah says, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut." Everybody probably knows this verse, what it means. Every soul shall taste death. And this death that we are afraid of, it does not move you to your final destination. You know, death does not terminate you in a sense. Rather, it is only a transformation from one abode to the one in the barzakh, or the life in between, until one lands either in paradise or in the hellfire. So unlike the other creation, once you die, it's not over. Actually, this is the beginning only. And regarding this, we'll be moving to the life of accountability and reckoning. And this happens after the hour takes place. Allah says regarding the hour in Surah Taha, "Verily the hour is coming, and I intend on hiding it," yani not telling us when it will come, "so each soul may be reckoned for what it strives for." Each person will be rewarded according to what kind of effort you place in this dunya. So if you strive to become a rich man, and you have give no time to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no time to fulfill any obligations, then you will be rewarded accordingly. And you know where that will land one of us. It's definitely not going to be Jannah. Whereas if you strive to be a believer, who fulfills the objective of life, which is to establish the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then afterwards you strive to be a rich man, then you will make it to Jannah. The problem is when we forget about the objective of life and we focus only on the dunya, the dunya, the dunya, but the salah, we're always in the second jama'ah, third jama'ah. This is if we're praying in a jama'ah. This is not to speak about all the fajr prayer that we will be sleeping during, and all of the violations that we commit, and all of the negligence that we have. An individual in this condition is someone who is favoring the dunya over the akhirah. Being frank with it, with ourselves. A person who is in this state is definitely someone who favors the dunya over the akhirah. Not intentionally, but by the way he conducts himself. So a person who is putting the akhirah first, he strives accordingly for the akhirah. As Allah says in the Quran. And the sa'ah is truth. It is haqq. But the time is unknown. It's from the unseen. And Allah has made it such for the wisdom. So Allah says, so do not let those who disbelieve in the hour and those who follow their desires divert you from the path and from working for it before you will perish. So then, O Muslims, Iman in the sa'ah, in the hour, it's called the hour because it's that great hour where the Day of Judgment begins. And the conditions and resurrection and accountability and believing in Jannah and Jahannam and everything that Allah has spoken about from the affairs of the hereafter, after death, are all part of our belief in the last day. And that is one of the six pillars of Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding that, O who you believe, believe in Allah and His Messenger, and the book which He has sent down upon His Messenger, and the book which He sent down before. And whoever disbelieves in Allah, and His angels, and His books, and His messengers, and the last day, then verily this person has gone far, far astray. وعن عمر بن الخطاب and in the hadith of عمر رضي الله عنه, the hadith of Jibreel, which every one of you probably knows, he entered upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was sitting with his companions, and he looked like a man. He had extremely white clothing, he had extremely dark hair, nobody knew who he was, it didn't look like he was traveling in the desert. He sat down near the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on his knees, and he placed his hands on his thighs, and he said, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, أخبرني عن الإسلام. Tell me about Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ gave him the five pillars of Islam, which we all know. Then he told him, أخبرني عن الإيمان. Tell me about Iman. He said, to believe in Allah. And تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. To believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and the last day, and to believe in preordainment, the good thereof and the evil. Then he told him, أخبرني عن الإحسان. He told him, إحسان. أخبرني عن الساعة. He told him, I don't know about the ساعة. I don't know any better than you. He said, tell me about its signs or conditions. And the Prophet ﷺ enumerated to him some of the conditions of the Day of Judgment. So this particular belief then we get from the Quran and from the Sunnah, believing in the last day and everything that is associated with that. So you will not truly believe until you believe in these things according to the Quran and the Sunnah, and all this is relevant to the knowledge of the unseen. And you cannot really be a believer unless you believe in the unseen. Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That book, there's no doubt in it. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, a guidance for those who fear Allah, those who have taqwa. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. The first thing is, those who believe in the unseen. I mean, if you see the hellfire in front of you, is there any benefit of believing or disbelieving? You've seen it with your own eyes. So the objective of Iman is believing in the unseen. And we don't see the Day of Judgment, but we believe in it. And this is the criteria by which we check or verify whether one of us is truly a believer or not. Ibn Rajab, may Allah have mercy on him, said, Iman is that which is established in the heart, is the foundation of every goodness. And through that Iman, you will attain the happiness and the pleasure of this life and the life to come. And while you do not, and this is how you, your body will follow. Your body, your limbs will follow that Iman by establishing good deeds. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily in the body there's a morsel, or there's a flesh, a piece of flesh. If it is sound, if it is good, then the whole body will be good. And if it is bad, then the whole body will be bad. Verily it is the heart. So if outwardly we're not Islamic, meaning inwardly the heart is corrupt. If outwardly we are Islamic, meaning inwardly the heart is sound. To some extent, at least in that aspect. It may be corrupt in other ways, but generally speaking. So then believing in the hour and its conditions are among the things of the unseen, and they are among the conditions or one of the pillars of Iman. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the knowledge of the hour hidden. Allah says in the Quran, they ask you, meaning O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the hour. When is it going to happen? Say, verily its knowledge is with Allah. And He does not reveal that until the time comes. And when it happens, then people will realize. It is heavy. It is heavy in the heavens and the earth. It only comes to you suddenly. It only comes to you suddenly. They ask you about it as if you know. Say, verily it is knowledge with, its knowledge is with Allah, and most people know not. And from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He told us about some of the signs which indicate that the hour is approaching. And what we will have from fitna, from trials and tribulations prior to the hour. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had warned his ummah to, in order for us to prepare ourselves for this particular day. For example, first the sa'a, the hour is around the corner. It is very near. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic narration, "Bu'ithtu ana was-sa'ati kahatayn. Bu'ithtu ana was-sa'atu kahatayn. I was sent, I and the hour like these two." And he put these two fingers next to each other. Yani the distance, me and the Day of Judgment were that close to each other. And this is over 1400 years. In comparison to the billions of years that have passed, it's relatively short. The Day of Judgment is around the corner. That's the first thing, it is around the corner. Secondly, some of these signs have already taken place. We are living them today. And some of them will take place in the future. No doubt. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the hour will not take place until two major group of people fight against one another. And there will be a huge war. Many people will die and their cause will be one. Their objective will be one. Some of the people say that it could be the World War I and World War II, where there was a lot of death. And what was their goal? The dunya. Dominance, controlling the world. They didn't have any other objective. Both contending countries. Wallahu a'lam ala kulli hal. Secondly, there will be 30 false prophets. The Prophet ﷺ said there will be 30 people who will come and claim that they are prophets of Allah, and among them, you know, the Ahmadiyya and the Ghulam, this man who claimed to be the messenger of Allah, and some of the people from the Nation of Islam in the United States, like Farrakhan and what have you. Many individuals who came in the beginning talking about da'wah, the next thing you know, he said, I'm the messenger of Allah. And so you say, mashallah. You know, we have Khatamun Nabiyyin, the Prophet ﷺ is the seal of all prophets. Then you have someone who says he's following him, but he is the final prophet. So anyways, you could tell from that this person is on vacation and he has nothing to do with the deen of Islam. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away knowledge. There will be a lot of ignorance among the Muslims. This is something we're experiencing today. Wallahu al-musta'an. There will be a lot of earthquakes. And you know, we come across those every now and then in the world. Just recently there was one in Italy. The time will become short. You know, the days go by so fast. The hours go by so fast. The minutes go by so fast. Except for the students in school, to them it seems like the 5 hours in school is like 3 weeks. I know about that one. There will be a lot of fitna, a lot of turbulations, and a lot of killing. And, you know, you just hear every day, a bomb somewhere went off, 10 people died. Another explosion, 20 people died, 100 people died. These people die as if this is like people drinking water. 100 people, 20, 300 people. People die every day. Just look at the news and you know what I'm saying. And money will become so abundant, among the signs will be so abundant that a man will have a sadaqah and he will offer it to people and nobody wants the sadaqah from him. Say, ma'alish, I have plenty of money, I don't need that from you. Then people will compete against one another in high constructions. And just look around the world, tallest building here and the tallest building over there. Every day they build a tall building to beat the record of the previous tall building. All these are signs given by the Prophet Muhammad SAW 1400 years ago, when maybe the longest construction back then was Allahu Alam how many floors. And then finally, a man will go by a grave of a dead person and he will say, I wish I was he. Yani he will be suffering so much in the dunya that he would wish he was the dead person instead of that dead person in his grave, because he's just tired of all the fitna. And then finally, the sun will rise from the east. The sun will rise from where it usually sets. Once it does that, everybody will believe. But as we know from the Quran, no soul shall benefit at that particular time had it not believed previously, or gain some goodness in its belief. Because once they see it, they know that it's the truth. So belief at that point is, they call iman ittirari. Yani iman that is forced upon you. You've seen the signs of the Day of Judgment, you're going to believe at that moment. But it will be of no benefit for these particular individuals. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, verily the hour will take place and two men will hang their thawbs, you know, to dry, on the balcony maybe. They hang their thawbs to dry and then they will not put them on. Or actually the hadith mentions that they will be a salesman and a customer. And he will spread the thawb for him to buy it, you know, showing you the thawb. And then the hour will come before they actually finish the transaction. And he will not even get the chance to purchase this particular thawb. Furthermore, a man will be having some leban, some milk that he wants to drink and he will not drink it. And another one will have the bite of food risen to his mouth, and before he gets to eat it, he will not be able to eat it. Yani the hour will come after these signs suddenly. طيب. And from Auf ibn Malik, he said that I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Ghazwa of Tabuk, and he was sitting in a particular place. Then he said, I have counted six before the hour. Number one, my death. Secondly, the opening of Bayt al-Maqdis, which happened through Umar ibn Khattab radhiallahu anhu. This was already fulfillment of that prophecy. Then he said, then death will come upon you. Two kinds of illnesses or death will come upon you, and they will kill the people just like goats. Then there will be so much money that the person will, you'll give someone 100 dinars and he will still be upset with you. Then fitna, a fitna that will come and it will not leave any house from the house of the Arabs except that it will enter it. The Shaykh said it may be the dish, the satellite dishes. Wallahu a'lam. Thumma, then there will be a covenant between you and the yellow race. And the yellow race are usually the Chinese people and their likes. But they will betray you and they will come to you with 80 different slogans. Under each one there will be 12,000 people. Wallahu a'lam. Then also it has been established in the Sahih, from the signs of the Day of Judgment, plentiful of women. There'll be more women than men. You see this almost outside. A small number of men, likewise. The scholars will die. Scholars, the knowledgeable people will pass away. The amana will be lost. The trust will be lost. Fornication and adultery will spread among the communities. So will be the drinking of alcohol. And this one is the calamity, the tendency to make lawful musical instruments. And this calamity that has befallen upon the Muslims has made it all the way to the house of Allah, the masjid. You could almost not pray a single prayer without hearing some 6-7 cell phones ringing and singing about nonsense. Sometimes it is Christmas songs, jingle bells, and the songs that the brother himself doesn't know, that this is strictly Christmas kuffar stuff. But he has as a ringtone on his cell phone, coming to the house of Allah, destroying the masjid. Allah said that these houses were raised for His name to be remembered, not for us to listen to a disco in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I remind my brothers, and this is from me, we all forget to turn off the cell phone. Each and every one of us, no matter who you are, you will probably forget at one time in your life to turn off your cell phone. Ma fi mushkila. But ya akhi, have a traditional old ring. You know the phone at the office, tirrin tirrin. Ma fi mushkila. If it goes off in the salah, you turn it off. If you were unable to turn it off, it is not as bad as hearing a song. or some musical instruments being played, because this is the shaitan in the house of Allah. And the hadith is in Bukhari. And now the majority of Muslims listen to music as if it is something halal. And this is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said. يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرَّ وَالْحَذِيرَ وَالْخَمْرَ وَالْمَعَازِلِ. They will seek to make lawful fornication, alcohol, silk for men, and musical instruments. He said they will seek them to make them lawful, meaning they will treat them as if it's halal. But most people don't know about this hadith in Bukhari. This is why they do listen to music. But music is not allowed in Islam. Music is not allowed in Islam. And if you were to look in the statements of our righteous predecessors, even from the tafsir of the ayat like Surah Luqman, you will find out that the companions agreed about the impermissibility of musical instruments and singing. With one exception, the duf for the woman during a wedding or during a Eid. Women amongst women, during a Eid or a wedding, they may beat a duf. It's a kind of drum that doesn't have the bells on the side, and they may sing some decent songs. Nothing from what you hear today in the West. This is the only exception. But for a brother in Islam to be beating a, striking a guitar or punching a piano, you know, keys and things of the sort, wallahi, this, according to the Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and those who came after them, these individuals are the fussaq, zanadika, those are the corrupt people of the society. If they went to court to give a shahada, they will kick him out. Say, you, we don't listen to you. But nowadays, Allah musta'an. It's the other way around. If you tell the people you can listen to music, say, akhi, extreme, extreme. Be careful of this brother, he's extreme. He's changing the deen of Allah. And wallahi, they have changed the deen of Allah. But it is ignorance that has spread among the Muslims, so the people no longer know the halal from the haram, nor do they know the sunnah from the bid'ah. Wallahi musta'an. Inshallah, these khutab and these reminders, bi'idhnillah, will revive those who have the means to be revived. Some people you cannot do anything for them, and some people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide through the guidance of the Quran and Sunnah. I ask Allah to make me and you among them. Tayyib. Finally, the Prophet said that before the hour there will be tricky years where the trustworthy person will be accused of treachery. And then the treacherous person will be considered to be Amin, a trustworthy person. And then the most foolish of people will speak on behalf of the majority. Yani you'll get a businessman speaking on behalf of Muslims, or some kafir from some other country speaking on behalf of the world. You know, some lowlife speaking on behalf of the majority. These are among the signs of the Day of Judgment. And then the barefooted, naked goat shepherds, they will also be competing with one another in bunyan, in constructing high buildings. Furthermore, the trust will be lost, and the things will be given to those who don't deserve to be carrying that responsibility. And the leader of each tribe will be the hypocrite among them, wal'iyadu billah. And knowledge will be risen, and the scholars will be taken away, and ignorance will spread, and the good people will be criticized, and the evil people will be made to be risen and brought near to those in charge. And the people will compete against one another in the masajid. Look at our masjid, is nicer than your masjid. They have a bigger minarat. And look at all these fancy designs that we have around. All this is not from the deen of Islam in anything. The masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have a single thing on any wall. This you see here is not from the deen of Allah. This is from the signs of the Day of Judgment. Because we don't need an ayah on the wall. We don't come here to read this. We come here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you read the narrations about this, you will see that all the things that you see today in the masajid, where each masjid is nicer than the other, just like the churches, is actually un-Islamic and from the signs of the Day of Judgment. We make it big and comfortable, but we don't compete with the fancy carpet and the fancy design and the fancy... This is not a museum, ya akhwan. It's not a museum for you to say, oh mashallah. You come here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another problem that has spread among the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ said the people will compete with one another in the masajid. فَيُحْسِنُونَ بِنَاءَهَا. They will make it look beautiful, but they will waste the salah. They will waste the salah which this masjid was constructed for. So you see the brothers during the jama'ah for Fajr, there's only two lines. But for Asr, there's 50 lines. The masjid was built for that salah. Then you see the second jama'ah, then the third jama'ah, then the fourth jama'ah. And we continue to do jama'at until Maghrib comes in. If you come late for Asr, you continue to see jama'at until Maghrib. Two, then they become three, four, five, six, and seven, what have you. All this is wasting the salah of the masjid. But it looks nice. Beautiful masjid, mashallah. Allah musta'an. Then the Prophet ﷺ said from Abu Huraira, by him whose my soul is in his hand, this dunya will not leave until the person killing will not know why he's killing. And the person who gets killed will not know why he was killed. And you see this today. People just go out and blow themselves up. Put a bomb anywhere, he doesn't know who's going to pass by. Kill Muslims. Usually the first people on the list of being killed are the believers in the masajid. They don't know why they were killed. And if you ask the person why you're killing them, he probably doesn't know either. His master told him to go do this, so he goes out and he does that. So this is among the signs of the Day of Judgment. Finally, the major signs, and please be patient with me, it's a long khutbah, mashallah, tabarakallah. The Prophet ﷺ entered upon the companion sitting in the masjid. He said, what are you talking about? They said, we are remembering the hour. He said, the hour will not come until 10 ayat, 10 signs will take place. Then he mentioned al-dukhan, the smoke. And this is, you read it, Surah al-Dukhan, there's mention of this particular, go back to the tafsir. Al-Dajjal, the false messiah. And he's not the Antichrist, his name is the false messiah because he's a liar. Al-Dabba, the beast that will go from the earth. وَطُلُوعُ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا, the sun rising from the east. وَنُزُولَ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, Isa will descend to the earth because he remains alive. He was not crucified, he was not killed. Allah raised him to the heavens and he will come back as one of the final signs of the Day of Judgment. And Gog and Magog, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. And وَثَلَاثَةُ خُسُوفِ, and three, يعني swallowing of the earth. The earth will swallow in three different places. Once in the east, once in the west, and once in the Arabian Peninsula. And finally, a fire will emerge from Yemen. And it will push the people. The people will run away from this fire. And it will push them all the way until the place where the resurrection will be. The place where the people will be gathered for the Day of Judgment. As Muslim, rahimahullah, had narrated. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, the first of the signs of the Day of Judgment, the major signs, is the rising of the sun from where it sets. Then the emerging of the beast from the ground during duha time. The Prophet ﷺ said, whichever one comes first, then everything else will be right after. As soon as one of these two happen, then all of the major signs will start coming one after the other. There will be no long duration of time between them. Then among the signs are the verse mentioned in the Quran. I will bypass that due to the time. Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be a great nation who will spread corruption upon earth, who will kill the people. So the Shaykh said, regarding all this, repent to Allah, O Muslims, before the death comes upon you suddenly and before the hour comes around while you are not aware and you do not perceive. And then in the second khutbah, the Shaykh mentioned one more ayah. He says, do they wait for the hour to come suddenly? Verily its signs have already been presented. So what benefit would that be for them after the hour comes that they will remember? You know, oh, I wish I had done this, I wish I had done that. So know that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. And seek forgiveness for your sin and for the believing men and the believing women. And verily Allah knows your daily affairs and He knows your final destinations. And the second khutbah, the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, went on to mention that we should have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we should be careful from the fitna of the Masih al-Dajjal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no fitna greater from the time of Adam until the Day of Judgment from the fitna of al-Masih al-Dajjal, which is the false Messiah. There hasn't been a single prophet from the time of Noah except that he warned his people from al-Masih al-Dajjal. And the Prophet ﷺ said, there hasn't been a creation greater in fitna than the Masih al-Dajjal from the time of Adam until the hour. And the reason why, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him, he will do miracles, ya akhwan. The Masih al-Dajjal, he will come to some area and he will tell the sky to rain and it will rain by his command. He will tell the vegetation to grow and the vegetation will grow. He will kill a man by cutting his head off. Then he will order the head to be reattached to the body and the head will go back to the body and the man will walk back to al-Masih al-Dajjal. This man will be given power by Allah. Be careful, it is not working independently. It is from Allah, by Allah, as a fitna. So then why? Those who believe firmly, Allah will protect them. And of course, you know, you should memorize the first 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf or the last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf as means of protection from the Masih al-Dajjal. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you come across him, run away. Don't expose yourself to the fitna. But those who are weak in Iman, they will believe in him. The believer will read on his forehead, Kafara. Kafir. He's a disbeliever. But those who are like this, they will go after him. They will believe that he is indeed the Messiah. He will claim to be Allah. La'natullahi alayhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that he described him to us. He said he will be short, he will be big, and he will be awar, one-eyed. He will be one-eyed, and the other eye will look like a floating grape. And he will enter into each town, and he will spread corruption except in Mecca and Medina. And it was confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he will not be able to enter Mecca and Medina. There are angels guarding the boundaries of Mecca and Medina. They will not allow him to come in. And another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said there are four masajid which he will not be able to enter: Al-Masjid Al-Haram, Masjid Al-Madina, Masjid Al-Tur, and Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. These four masajid he will not be able to enter. He will be followed by 70,000 from the Jews. And during his fitna, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down Al-Masih. Al-Masih, Isa ibn Maryam, he will go down in Damascus. Damascus in the eastern part, eastern minaret. And he will be surrounded with the believers. And he will aim and go after Al-Masih al-Dajjal. He will chase after him. At the time when Al-Masih al-Dajjal will be right at the boundaries of Bayt al-Maqdis. So he will go after him and he will kill him. And then there will be a big war between the Muslims and the Jews. So much so that the rock, the stone, will tell the Muslim, oh Muslim, there's a Jew hiding behind me, so come and kill him. So we will take revenge from them on that particular day, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. So the Shaykh said at the end, these are among the major fitan of the Day of Judgment, and we should be mindful of them, we should be in preparation for them, we should strive to run away from the fitna and seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making abundance of dua and supplications that Allah will protect us during these times of tribulations, because they may be around the corner. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to often tell us to say at the end of the salah, before you do the taslim, the ta'awud from four things: seeking refuge in Allah from the punishment of the hellfire, seeking refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave, seeking punishment from fitnat al-Masih al-Dajjal, from the evil of the false Messiah, and from fitnat al-Mahya wal-Mamat, the fitna of being alive and the fitna of the time of death. All these are tribulations, and this is in summary what the Shaykh, may Allah reward him, mentioned. Jazakumullah khairan for your patience. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu sallam ala Muhammad. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.